Just Nate today, Dave and Katie in beautiful New Orleans, I assume. I don't know what the weather's like there. I don't know that it's as windy as it is here. Katie had some sort of issue. She was supposed to be on the show today. Technical, administrative, some sort of thing has kept her off the radio today. So it's just me for your Friday. That's your special treat, guys. I know you're just as excited as I am. We'll be checking in with Justin Kutcher of Fox Sports here any moment, frankly. He does play-by-play for baseball, football, college basketball. So we'll be able to get just about anything. And in fact, he's right here with us right now, Justin Kutcher of Fox Sports. Justin, I'm Nate Goodyear. I appreciate you making the time today. And when my boy Jay told me we were going to have you on, I looked at some of the stuff. You're basically everything. I asked him to talk baseball, but it's like you do college hoops, and so you're pretty much relevant, man. I hope you got your whole encyclopedia open today.
It's always open. Come on now, Nate. Let's go. What do you want to talk about?
I love it, man. Well, hey, let's start with college hoops then, since we're there. At what point along the line for you, I was talking about this earlier this morning, did Gonzaga turn from the Cinderella that kind of everyone was rooting for to, I don't know that there's necessarily a backlash against them, but it's almost as though there's just kind of an apathy or an indifference now.
I think it's actually runs parallel with like Boise State in football. I think where people kind of, they get sick and tired of hearing of a school that makes this run. Boise State made that run in the BCS, and they had the upset over Oklahoma, and everyone thought that was great. And then after that, when Boise State was starting to get recognized in football as a legit contender, people were starting to question their conference they were playing in and who were they actually beating. And that was the same thing happening with Gonzaga. And who were they beating? What was their non-conference schedule? Why should they be ranked as high as these teams in the power conferences? And so people were starting to get frustrated by maybe people over-hyping them. And I was just watching the games last week, and I was at a local bar here, and people were saying, next week Gonzaga will lose by 25 to Kansas, North Carolina, or Kentucky. Mm-hmm. I said, really? By 25? I'll take that bet right now.
Yeah.
I go, people, you don't realize how good Gonzaga is. They had one loss. Like every game they play, everybody is going out to get them. And they have so much pressure to win because there's so much on the line with each and every game. This is a really, really good team. And I'm not saying if they were in the ACC or the Big 12 or the Pac-12 or the Big East that they would, have one loss. But I guarantee you they'd be in the upper half of each and every conference.
Well, and there was, and now I'm kind of blanking on who it was, but we had a guest on not too long ago, and he had said, hey, you can try to break down a season like that or a conference schedule like that any way you want, but what you can't fake is a 30-win season. That indicates quality pretty much no matter where you play. Do you mostly agree with that?
I mean, 30 wins in a season is remarkable. To me, it's one loss.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right. And it's one loss, and they bounce back and they win their conference tournament. And then they go on and they win in the tournament. And, they're doing something right now that they've never done before. And so for me, the Cinderella thing, because they've never gotten to the Final Four until right now, when I grew up, it was still, Gonzaga was just starting to make their run. And so to see them finally get over that hurdle, to get over that hump, that is still some Cinderella in it for me. But they are a legit team, a legit program. It just so happens they play in the West Coast Conference. But I think college basketball, the way it is right now, I tell you what, you don't have to win a series. It's just one game. Mm-hmm. And if they can get to that championship game, because South Carolina, the way they play defense, that won't be an easy game either. But if they can get to that championship game, don't put it past them. They could win the whole thing.
And that's as Justin Kutcher of Fox Sports joins us on KHTK. That's kind of where I was going to go, too. It is their first Final Four, but South Carolina, they're no joke. So should South Carolina win, what ends up being the narrative for Gonzaga? Do they then again become that team that can't get it done? Because to me, the Final Four is nothing to shake a stick at. But is that going to be good enough for their reputation to overcome being the guys that can't get it done?
I think right now you had to get to the Final Four, right? They broke through. They had been to the Elite Eight a couple of times. They couldn't get through. They got to the Final Four. They got through. Now it's a matter of what happens when you're there. Look, South Carolina, look who they took out. I mean, they beat Duke. This is a team that plays phenomenal defense. Frank Martin is an underrated coach. He gets these guys to play. They love playing for him. This is not going to be an easy game because he will game plan for this Gonzaga team. And I think Gonzaga ultimately will win the game, but I think they will be tested. And I think the best thing that could have happened for Gonzaga was having to play West Virginia, because West Virginia was able to get after them and, you know, force them to play against a gritty opponent and deal with the defense, that not the pressure that they'd see. It's a different type of pressure, but it's the intensity that they'll deal with in a team like South Carolina.
Yeah,
I don't think it's going to be one of those situations where the narrative is going to be like, oh, here they go again. They couldn't get it done. No, they got it done. They got to the Final Four.
It's just, yeah, they just got a tough matchup, and we'll see where it goes. So when I look at a guy like Frank Martin, and you had brought up Bob Huggins, and we know how closely those two are kind of intertwined. And I think of those guys, I don't know if throwback is necessarily the right word, but they are definitely tough love type of coaches. And that doesn't necessarily mesh with the majority of today's style of athlete. I guess this is kind of convoluted, but is there only room for like a finite number of successful type of coaches like that? Because I imagine it takes a very specific type of player to want to go play for a guy like that, and there's only so many good ones out there.
You know, it's funny because those two guys are two of my favorite coaches to deal with in all of college basketball. And the reason why is because I love the way they get after their players. I love the way the players respond to them. Mm-hmm. And then I love the way they treat their guys off the floor, and I love the way they are with people. You see them on the sidelines and they're yelling and they're screaming and they get red in the face and you think, these guys are nuts. Like, no way would I want to be around these people. And then you talk to them, and Huggins, I mean, they call him Huggy Bear. The guy is hilarious. I mean, you just want to sit down and have a beer with him and have him listen to him tell stories, and they're great stories. I mean, he can talk for hours, and you can sit there and be like, this is unreal. And Frank Martin is one of the nicest guys you'll meet. And when I talk to him, he tells me, he's like, when I'm done coaching, I just want to be a math teacher, like a high school math teacher. And he's just a good person. And it's this persona that you see on the sidelines that's on the sidelines. But everything else, that's why you hear these kids say, like, they'll do anything for them, because the coaches will do anything for the players. And so, yeah, it might be a special type of person to get through that, to deal with what they have to deal with on the court. But if you can, the reward is so great, because these guys will have relationships with you for the rest of your life, and they will do whatever they can to make sure you better yourself. I wish there were more coaches like them out there, to be honest with you. I had a West Virginia game a few years ago where first possession of the game, there was a turnover, and Huggins called timeout, and he just met his player at half court and just ripped into him. And I just laughed on the air going to timeout, going to commercial break, because I thought it was awesome. I mean, it was a bonehead mistake the kid made. It was a mental mistake. They had gone over it time and time again in practice. and Huggins just ripped into him right away. Didn't care about wasting a timeout. He was mad that they had gone over it and the kid had a mental mistake, and he just lit into him. And I'm like, you know what? That's awesome. And the kid didn't make the mistake again. And so I loved it. So yeah. Those two guys, I'm glad you picked them out, because those two guys, I believe they're special.
Well, and those are the type of teams and guys that make this fun. College sports is such a politically charged environment when, you know, or at least it can be really easily. And then you get their passion and their energy. It's just infectious. And you talk about actually being around them and feeling that. It comes through the TV. It makes you want to root for them. And more than that, it makes you want to be a part of their program as a bystander.
Put it this way. The first time I did a game with Frank Martin, he was at K-State. And I had to fly in early because there was a snowstorm coming to where I lived. So I flew out 2 days early so I can make the game. And when I told my dad that I was doing the game and I was going to practice for 2 days, my dad said, just be careful. Like, he could kill you. I mean, because that's the persona that he gives off.
Yeah.
And I went to practice, and he was yelling and screaming at practice. And he came over to me, had never met me. And he sat down, introduced himself to me, apologized for how crummy his team was playing that day, and sat down. And I said, hey, coach, I get it. No worries. And I said, hey, if you want, I'm going to be here tomorrow at practice too. If you want to go deal with your media, go do that. I can wait. We can talk tomorrow. He's like, are you sure? He's like, we can talk now. I'm like, no. You go do your thing. I'll be here tomorrow again. We can talk after tomorrow's practice. He's like, all right, thanks. Thanks so much. And he went and did his thing. And the next day we came and we talked for a while after practice. And like I said, he could not have been nicer. But it's that persona that you see and that you think, like, oh, my God, like, what's going on? But he gets to these kids, and they respond, and they love him for it. I mean, look, he suspended his best player this year during the season, and look how this kid is playing right now.
Yeah.
He responded.
Justin Kutcher joining us on KHTK. Play-by-play, college sports, man. I mean, you do everything, but we got into college basketball pretty deep here. And I want to jump onto the other side of the bracket because, I'm on that Frank Martin train, and those stories you're telling of those two guys are just unbelievable. Here on the other side, you've got a pretty solid coaching matchup as well. Dana Altman, Roy Williams, this Oregon team, I didn't expect this out of them. I got to be honest with you. I knew they were good. I'm not sure what to always think of Dylan Brooks other than that he fills up the stat sheet and he's a fantastic college basketball player. But I didn't see them getting this far. I didn't see them dispatching Kansas. I mean, let's be honest, it was easier than it should have been. North Carolina is no joke, but Oregon's on a roll.
Yeah, I didn't see Oregon making the run they did either, especially with the injury coming, you know, prior to the NCAA tournament. I thought it would have a bigger impact than it did. They're playing really well. And, to be able to handle Kansas the way they did, that was impressive. I thought the Pac-12 was actually stronger than people thought. In my bracket, I had the final being an all Pac-12 final. I just had the teams wrong. I had it being Arizona against UCLA, and I was definitely wrong on that. But for Oregon, you look at them, you watch them play, and what you like is it's not about really individuals. They are playing as a team right now. And yeah, there are some individuals stepping up when they need to step up, but it's not like you mentioned Brooks. I don't see any of these guys being superstars. Mm-hmm. I think Dana Altman's system is working really well. I think Dana Altman is a really good coach as well. He did a great job when he was at Creighton, and obviously since he's come over to Oregon. North Carolina, they were on a mission to get back to the Final Four after the way they lost in last year's national championship game. I don't think it was just to get back to the Final Four. I think it's to win the whole thing again. And I look at that Carolina team, and I try to watch, I try to look at this matchup and what do I see? How does it work? I think Oregon gives them some problems. I think there are some matchup issues there for Carolina with Oregon. I think inside Carolina has an advantage. I think on the perimeter it might be advantage Oregon, as weird as that sounds, with a guy like Justin Jackson. Jackson's the one guy in the perimeter I love for Carolina, but beyond that, I think it's an advantage for Oregon. So I want to see a good game. I mean, that's all I want. I want the two games on Saturday to be great, and then, you know, Monday night's championship. As a broadcaster, we always root for good games, and that's what I want to see.
Yeah, it's hard to believe that we wouldn't be getting them with these two matchups. So we go from North Carolina and Oregon. We know how great Roy Williams is. His successor at Kansas, Bill Self, has only, you know, won a Big 12 title like every year since, you know, Christ came back to Chicago or whatever the heck the saying is there. But again, you know, here they are not in the Final Four. They kind of fail as a one seed. And this is insane to me, Justin, but I'm sure there are people in Kansas that are a little bit disappointed with the showing that he's had, especially with the AP Player of the Year. And that's not even to mention what Josh Jackson was doing. Do you think that Bill Self gets the respect that he deserves? Because, you know, the whole Big 12 title streak, we hear about it. I feel like it's not talked about as much as it should be.
It's not. There's no doubt. And, you know, they put up a graphic recently during the tournament with Coach K at Duke and the number of early losses that they've had as a one seed or a two seed. And they've gone out a lot of times. The difference is he's won, you know, five national championships. Mm-hmm. So they kind of get, you know, a pass. And, hey, five national championships, that's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Bill Self, what he has done at Kansas, the guy has a national championship under his belt, right? Roy Williams at Kansas did not have a national championship under his belt. He did not win 12 in a row for the regular season championships. I just think people's expectations are so ridiculous. Look, it's not as if Kansas lost in the first round this year. They went to the Elite Eight. Like, I get it. You're a one seed. You expect to go far. The Elite Eight is going far. I know you have these expectations of, hey, we're one of the best teams. We should go to the Final Four. Should. Nothing is given to you. And sometimes it just doesn't work out. I do think Bill Self is a really good coach. I can't stand people. I mean, if I always try to ask people this question. Okay, so if you're not happy with Bill Self, who would you be happy with? Right. What coach is out there that you think right now would be doing a better job with your program?
List isn't very long.
I can't imagine there'd be more. I don't know who it would be.
Maybe Roy Williams is probably the guy.
I disagree with that. Disagree with that wholeheartedly.
Yeah.
He was there.
You had that chance. I know it's interesting. And part of me wonders, too, because he does such a good job, and I'm talking about Bill Self here, Justin, of building a team and getting people. It's almost like he's building the program as though he's going to have upperclassmen, as though it's like a mid-major type of program, a lot of player retention. And he does generally, but there's always those guys every year, the Wiggins or the Jackson or the McLemore, that are going to be a one and done. And it seems like they so often kind of get stuck in the middle of almost an identity crisis, which is tough to make sense of. But they're stuck in between going full on one and done and embracing the Kentucky model of just getting the best talent, winning as many games as you can and recycling it year after year. And like the Gonzaga type of model of just building guys that are going to hang around a solid 4-year team. You sprinkle a couple of 1-year studs in there. And it seems like that's kind of where those early exits end up, is the best player on your team a lot of times ends up being too inexperienced to carry you to the Final Four, to a championship. And I say that with Frank Mason being the AP player of the year.
Like, you know, Jackson got into foul trouble in the Elite Eight game in the first, like, 2 minutes of the game. But Frank Mason did nothing in that game. Mm-hmm. And Frank Mason's not a one-and-done guy.
Yeah. It's a good
point. You know, so, I mean, people can try to put blame on the fact that it was this freshman that didn't do anything. But their upperclassman, National Player of the Year, was completely taken out of that game. And so, when I was watching that game and you're looking at the numbers, you're going, wait, where's Frank Mason right now? He wasn't anywhere. Yeah, I agree. I mean, when you look at players like a Wiggins, you know, you don't – in college, it's very hard to put up the numbers that you're going to put up in the NBA. College happens to be of a more team-oriented game, and they play more zone, so you're not going to put up these – you know, you're not going to average 25 to 30 points a game. And especially these kids who are freshmen, they don't have the all-around game to do the one-on-one moves that they might need at the next level. So your game develops over time. But when you watch a guy like Jackson and you see what he does and Wiggins, you can see they have the skill set. It just has to come. So to make them the focal point right away, I think what Self tries to do is he tries to build them up through time. Like their athletic ability, obviously it's off the charts. But he's trying to build them up as basketball players and teach them how to play within the confines of a team. And I think that's a really important lesson for those guys. And what I would look at and is maybe how these guys do as they go on to the next level. Do they learn? Are they good? Are they all-stars at the next level? And maybe more importantly, how do they play with their teammates at the next level? Because a lot of one of my favorite things to do is see which colleges produce the best NBA players. You know, if you look at a school like Syracuse does not produce good NBA players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, most of them don't know how to play defense when they get to the league. That's Justin.
Exactly.
That's Justin Kutcher of Fox Sports. Justin, I know I was supposed to have you on to talk baseball. Thanks for taking the curveball, man. That was a fantastic 20 minutes of college hoops. I really appreciate it.
Hey, no problem. It's Final Four. We have to talk that. It's okay.
It's huge. I love it. Well, thanks, Justin. Have a good weekend, man.
Thanks. You too. Enjoy the games.
All right. Thank you. You too. That's Justin Kutcher of Fox Sports. Follow him on Twitter at Justin Kutcher. All right. 2 hours in the books. When we return, we're going to check in with Jason Jones briefly. He's on the ground in New Orleans as the Kings will face DeMarcus Cousins in a Pelicans uniform for the first time. This is The Drive on Sports 1140 KHTK.